Good morning to you all, and it's my great pleasure to be in Hamilton once again. It's a long time since we have been here. I think the last time we were here was probably at least a year and a half or 2 years ago. But it's whenever I come to Hamilton, I have a sense of as we were actually driving down the King's Street, when the church came into view, this particular advertisement in the 3ABN came to my mind. You know, if you have seen, it says, in Seventh-day Adventist churches, large and small, they all sing the same song. Lift up the trumpet, loud let it ring, Jesus is coming again. And that was the thought which came to my mind as I looked at this small church this morning. And so it is my great privilege, I think, to come and share the word of God this morning. Shall we just bow our heads to invite the Lord into our hearts? Our Father in heaven, we come to you asking for your presence, not only amongst us, but also within us. And I pray, Lord, that we will be fed sumptuously this morning, and that we may go back rejoicing and praising you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When Peter asked me to speak, and he very promptly called on Monday morning, and he sent me an email saying that we need a topic to put in the paper. And usually, because of my whatever the appointments and things like that, usually my sermon is not decided until sometimes Friday night or even Saturday morning. And so when I was, was thinking about what I should give as the title of the sermon, a thought flashed through my mind. And that was about rather an academic kind of concept. And if you had seen the paper or if you had known, I had said, the application of nanotechnology in Christian life. Now, I'm sure it's all very confusing to you if you are not used to that sort of terminology. But that is the title that was put in the paper. And because I had committed to that topic, I stuck to that, although I was not sure whether I was going to preach on that at all. Now, before we go any further, I need to clarify what this nanotechnology is. Does anybody know what's nanotechnology? What about Crystal? Crystal is a new nursing graduate. Do we know what's nanotechnology, or any engineers here? Okay, doesn't matter. Yeah.
It's just microcircuitry, really. I mean, it's like computer circuitry.
Yeah, it's to do with very small things. That's what, if you want to summarize it, it is to do with very small things. But I'll try and make it a little bit clearer to you. Now, when you measure length, we use, what do we use? We can interact, you know, we are a very small group, so I would like you to talk to me. And I want the children also probably to talk to me and probably pay some attention. So we measure distance or length by means of various, units. And for a very long distance, we will measure kilometers, isn't it? Space is measured in, light years. And when it comes to a smaller distance, we use smaller measures like meters, and then comes centimeters, and then you may use foot sometimes, and then it comes even low, you use millimeters. Is that right? So, nanotechnology deals with nanometers. Now, what is nanometer? Nanometer is 1/1,000,000th with a B of a meter. Okay? So you take 1 meter scale and divide into 1 billion times of equal parts. Okay, maybe a little difficult to understand. If you take, alternatively, if you take 1 millimeter, you know, 1 centimeter is like that, and that is comprised of 10 millimeters, 10 millimeters, 1 centimeter, and if you take that 1 millimeter and divide it into 1 million times, 1 millimeter, you take it and divide into 1 million times, and one of that is called a nanometer. Are you with me? So we are talking about a very microscopic, very small measure. In reality, you cannot see the nanometer. 1 nanometer cannot be seen by your naked eye. You need electron microscope to see that much of distance. So what is nanotechnology? So nanotechnology is applying whatever technical measures, I won't go into that, to things which are that small. So when you go to that small dimension, you are talking about molecules. You understand what I'm talking about? Our body is made up of, you know, cells, you know, organs, big organs like the liver, heart, the kidneys, the lungs. And if you go into each of them, they're all made up of, you know, cells, billions and billions of them. And if you actually dissect them further into electron microscope, then you come across these small organelles which are within that cell. So you manipulate that. That's the technology we are talking about. So by whether it is in medicine or whether it is in engineering or whatever it may be, that technology is called nanotechnology because it is dealing with things which are very small and only few nanometers or 1 nanometer. So somebody tried to compare this, you know, to make it sort of easier to understand. 1 nanometer is the distance or the measure by which your hair grows by the time you lift your shaving, you know, the blade, razor, and by the time you put it on your skin. That is the measure that it grows, the hair. Somebody defined it like that. To make it more easier to understand, somebody said, if a meter is this whole earth, if you take this whole earth as 1 meter, then a small marble placed on the floor is 1 nanometer. If you think about the whole earth and a small marble placed on the floor. So that is the kind of technology I'm talking about. I'll come to as to why I brought this subject. One important thing that we can all understand very easily is the smaller you look into things, the more minute you go into things, the more powerful the results are. I'll give you an example. In the earliest of days when man wanted fire or energy, what did man do? How did we get energy? Come, children can answer this question. What's your name, ma'am? Yeah, you. Yeah. Kezia. Okay, Kezia, you tell me. How did man get energy, or if you want to do something, how did he get energy from? Where did he get energy from? The olden days. From, let's say, how did man cook his food? Did he have microwave long time ago? No. So how did he cook? How did they cook? You don't know? Do you know? Firewood, yeah, that's what. They did firewood, that's what we cook in India even now. So you took firewood and you light a match and you basically use that form of energy. Alright, then came several things. Oil came, we used solar energy, then came electricity and all those things. But then came another source of energy. That was atomic energy. When we split atom, there was an enormous explosion of energy which was never experienced before. The atom was very small. So my point was that the narrower you go, the smaller you go, the more minute things are, and the more you understand about them, the more power is the result. Is that clear to you? So when we are using big logs of firewood, we could get only so much energy. But when you split the smallest of atom, the energy that you got from that was tremendous. So much so that you can't really control them. In medicine, this technology used a lot in the recent diagnosis of cancer. It's not even in the mainstream yet. As you know, cancer is a result of one cell becoming abnormal and then proliferating and, you know, going mad, crazy, and just proliferating into a big cancer mass. And this technology aims at diagnosing that one cell which has gone mad at that stage. Can you believe that? So if there is one cell which has gone wrong in your body, this technology aims to pick that up and treat it then and there, that one cell. That's how powerful this technology is. Recently we had a patient in our hospital, just this last week. This gentleman was having swallowing trouble for the last around 3 months. And he has lost around 12 kilograms of weight in the last probably around 3 to 4 months time. When I saw him, he was completely emaciated. You know what I mean by emaciated? It's just bone and skin. There's nothing there. I put my hand on his shoulder and there was a large mass, a large lump on his, just above this clavicle bone. And when we examined, we found on the x-ray a large tumor sitting there. And it has spread to his liver, to his adrenal glands, into all of his abdomen, and to the other side of his lung. So, compare that with this technology which may actually pick up one cell when it is abnormal and treat them. How nice that would be. More powerful. So this morning I am here to tell you that this nanotechnology, as it exists in the worldly sphere, in medicine, in engineering, and all those things, I believe it is time that we brought this nano principle into our Christianity as well. I believe that today we need nano Christianity, not macro or mega Christianity. You understand that? Have you seen some of the churches that are around the world? Mega churches. One of the programs that I like to watch on the television is mega structures. Have you seen that? Mega bridges, mega ships, mega whatever it might be, mega buildings, how they build. You know, it's very intriguing to watch that. Similarly, there are churches now which are very big, popular. The order of the day seems to be what attracts the world seems to be the macro Christianity, the mega Christianity, the more popular Christianity, but not micro Christianity, nor nano Christianity. We always want to go for the big, bigger and the biggest, which is attractive, appealing to our senses. But as Christians today, I invite you that we should go to small, smaller and the smallest, instead of going big, bigger and biggest. You see, my friends, when you look at the big, bigger and biggest, it is very visible. It is attractive. It brings glory to itself. But when you bring things to the smallest, the smaller one, and the very invisible things, it brings glory and honor to God. I'll explain that. I believe that God today would like us to look at these small things and pay close attention to that, because there is power in it. There is blessing that we can gain from the smallest of things. I was in Dubai and I was looking for a SIM card for this phone because I had to get a local number. And they said, sir, this one, I don't know what kind of card they put, but they said it may be a micro SIM card, and therefore he was looking here and there. I don't know, this is my phone which I got recently, but they could not find that. Where it was, they could not find where the SIM card went into this phone. Because there is a small hole, which actually you need to be very careful to actually look at it, to actually find it. When he finally found it and he took it out, he said, "No sir, this is not micro SIM card, this is a nano SIM card. It's the most recent, line of Apple iPhone, so it's nano SIM card, it's become even smaller." You know, God wants us to look at smaller things. And not only what is appealing and ostentatious things that appeal to man's ambition and reason. Psalms 18:4. Can we turn to that verse? Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter 8, verse 4. It says, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" So that's talking about, the state of man. "The son of man that you care about him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings." So how are we made? We are made a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. The scripture is actually being very gracious to us. How lower do you think we are made compared to the angels? Rachel? Sorry? Somebody answer? Yes, it says a little lower than the angels, but I'm asking you, just, common sense, let's use our common sense. How lower do you think we are made compared to the angels? A little lower or a lot lower? Sorry? Okay, I think that's a smart answer probably. But I see myself like as we are. I am in the current state what I am. I am a lot, probably several billion of light years lower than the angel, because I don't have the power or the capacity of a single angel who destroyed tens and thousands of people going through the camp in a single hour. So the scriptures are very gracious in saying that we were made a little lower than the heavenly angels. But Jesus, when he came into this world, he took upon that lower state as his form. You understand? So Jesus, when he came into this world, he did not come as a mega Christ, but he came as a nano Christ, as a small baby. Are you with me? He did not pick up a lot of glory and honor on himself, but he came as a helpless babe who was at the mercy of his father and mother. So you see, in that lowliness, in that insignificance, in that obscurity and the humility, there was power. And you see that Nano Christ, who was insignificant, who was invisible to the common world, the great creator of this whole universe, became a nanoparticle on this earth. And he was totally invisible, just like a nanometer. And my question to you and myself, and I, is what kind of Christianity am I following? Or are you following? Is it a mega popular Christianity? Faith? Is it a macro Christianity with some sort of compromise? Or are you following a nano Christianity just like how Jesus was? You know, the Pharisees were worried about mega things. The liturgy, the sacrifice, the ceremony. All these things attracted a lot of attention. Is it not? They were very, the pompous parades. Some of the churches do that even now. Giving alms in the public, praying aloud in the public. Several actions and shows to bring attention and glory and honor to themselves. That's what, that was a mega religion of the Pharisees. But Jesus was more concerned about the invisible things, nano things, small, micro things. And they were, how is your heart this morning? What are the thoughts that is going through your mind? Invisible. Nobody can see that. How committed you are in your heart for your God and the truth. How deep is your love for Christ? That's what Jesus is concerned about. He's not concerned about in the visible, big, showy things. If God were to look into my heart and go down to the deepest part of my cell and DNA, will he find purity? Will he find love? Will he find in you a simple, pure faith? Will you find an obedient heart which is willing to do his bidding? So as I said, there is power in small things, and God wants us to harness that power. You know, my dear friends, I told you these invisible things, these invisible attributes. You know, when I feel most happy? When do you feel happy? Tell me. You know? When do children feel happy? Probably when they get gifts, isn't it? When your birthday or some surprise thing comes along your way. But when you grow older, the things that make you happy as you experience this world, the things that make you really happy within yourself is different. You know, the things that make me happy, I feel happiest when my conscience is clear. I feel happy to go to sleep when I can say at the end of my day, yes, I have done my best and I have done what is right in the sight of the Lord. You know? I'm sure that's your experience too. You feel powerful when you're on the right side. However physically you may be strong, however many the number of people that may be on your side, if you are on the wrong side, you don't have power. You don't have the moral power. I believe God is calling us to have this Christian power in our lives. And I believe that whatever we may talk, whatever we may preach, if we don't have that inner energy of nano-Christian power, which is pulsating by the grace of God, that comes from purity, adherence to God's principles, and the singular, uncompromising obedience to His will, I think we will be powerless if we don't have that. You know, you would have heard about this saying. You know, it is in his blood. You know, sometimes people say, oh, somebody plays the music so nicely. You know, it's in his blood. You know, it comes from, you know, generation to generation. It's in his blood. It's in his DNA, you know, you can't take it out. And sometimes I wonder, can I say that the love of God is in my blood? That I will, if somebody were to dissect me down to the innermost part of me, not in the tummy, not in my chest, or not in my brain, but I'm talking about the invisible thing. Somebody were to dissect me down to my mind, to my soul, what would they find there in that core? What would they find in you? Will they find that purity and the love of God? I want that nano-Christianity within myself. Not that just which I wear on Monday morning when I go to my work. And when it gets too hot, I just take it off and throw it down. Not even the dress that I wear, the dress of appearing pleasing to God when I come to church, which goes away when I am away from the church or people of like faith. I don't want that. I don't want it for myself. I don't want it for my family. I don't want it for my children. I don't want it for my church. I don't want it for you. I want this Christianity and the truthfulness to the principle and the love of God that runs within me in my blood. What do you say? That people who might say it is in his blood, you know, you can't take it away from him. You know, my dear friends, I think we are coming to a time in the history of this world where God needs people like that. And that's exactly what his sealing is all about. It runs in your blood. You can't take it out. We talk about the sealing by the angels who are going through this world. And that sealing is basically, if you read the Spirit of Prophecy, she says, settling into the truth, settling into the Word of God. And I tell you that settling is basically stamping God in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, and your DNA, in your blood cells, and every marrow cell of your body. So that when the time comes for testing, you can't do anything. Can you take it out? If you take it out, that basically ceases to exist. That's the Christianity I want for you and me, for our church. You know, when we have that kind of nano-Christianity, which is permeating and pulsating through our body and our soul and our mind, God will be glorified. So that is the standard I want to set for you and me this morning. And nano micro Christianity that's within you. Jesus that flows through your body. Our time is all going very fast. The second standard I want to set before you is the same kind of nano Christianity when you deal with others. I'll explain that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Here Jesus is talking about parables. And this particular parable is about the sheep and the goats. And you remember me? Remember when the Son of Man comes in all His glory and the angels gather all the people, then there are people who are separated into two groups, and the one group is on the right and one group on the left. And to the one group He says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. You looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And everybody's saying, When did we do this? They are perplexed. When did we see you naked? When did we give you clothing? When were you hungry and then when did we feed you? No, not at all. Lord, we never did that. And in verse 40, the king will reply, I will tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. There is the nano Christianity. God doesn't say, you know, what you did for the best of your friends, or the pastor of your church, or the bishop of your parish, or the dignitary who visits you. God didn't say that. He didn't say, what you did for them, you did for me. He said, to the least of the people whom you come across. Not the best, not the mighty, but the least. The most underprivileged, the poor, the needy, people who cannot protect themselves, the downtrodden, the untouchable. You know, Christians, depth of your conviction and your purpose and your Christianity is shown by what you do to the least that you come across. So that is the next social standard. We talked about the standard you set for yourself. When you come to your neighbor and your society, the standard that you set for is again a nano Christianity. What you do for the least of them. Children who cannot protect themselves. Nano principle. Don't go for the most flowery. That's why I'm so happy to be in a small church like this today. Big churches don't attract me. I don't go for the big choirs, the crystal cathedral, but I would rather be where Jesus would be, even though it is small. You know, I thought about this. Jesus has really, our God has really put this nano principle in the structure of our church. Have you noticed that? I'll tell you what it is. You know, when our church was established, there was hardly a handful of believers. You know that. 1844, so on. Today, this church is a worldwide movement. The largest number of educational institutions and hospitals, run by a non-Catholic institution is Seventh-day Adventist. The fastest, you believe it or not, the fastest growing Christian denomination in the world, Seventh-day Adventist. Now, how did God put this sort of dynamism in spite of our failures? Again, it was because of this micro, nano principle. You see, do you know who's the head of your church? Who's your head of your church? Worldwide. Do you know his name? Well, some people may know, some people may not know. Sorry? Pastor Wilson? Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter if you know or do not know his name. But if you ask somebody from, say, some other church, who's the head of the church? Say, a Catholic church. Immediately, what will they say? Yeah, the Pope is the head of the church. You know, in the inherent structure of our church and the way the church has been organized, God has put that micro principle. We don't depend on one man who leads from the top for our conviction or our day-to-day, our function. What do you say? We don't depend on the chief of power. What he says, we don't think that he is indispensable. It's not what he says, but what the word says that's more important. So this church is not dependent on any human being or visible structure, because it depends on the word of God within you, which is invisible. So if the church were to be persecuted in the future, it is not going to depend on a visible pastor or a visible leader or a visible head of the church, what they say in Washington, D.C., our church headquarters. It doesn't depend on that. The church will be still vibrant because it, within each one of the church members, the vibrant nano-Christianity and the Word of God resides in them. That's where we can be very sure that, you know, we don't depend on human agencies for our work. And that is the success, that's the reason for the success of the work of God in the last days. You know, I believe that God has appointed us to be, you know, nano-Christians in our community. When we talk about outreach, when we talk about our purpose of our being here. You know, in India, there is a... Have you heard of jaggery? No. Jaggery is made from sugarcane juice. Okay? So you put in a big pot, maybe as big as this, you know, the whole room, and you heat it, and they add a bit of lime and things like that, you know, and then it's condensed to very thick syrup and actually solidifies, so it becomes a ball, like you can almost hit a person and you might hurt them. So it's called jaggery balls. You drop that jaggery ball into a bucket of water, it takes hours to dissolve because it's so strong, it's so... If the jaggery remains just like that, as a strong ball which does not break down at all, it looks intact. Do you think that water will be sweetened? Not at all. But allow that jaggery to melt down and disappear into the water, into nanoparticles. What happens to the water? It becomes sweet. If you keep a salt as a ball of salt solidified on your plate or your food, it's not going to make the food tastier. And so what I'm saying is, if we want to be effective in our outreach, in our work, in our sharing, we need to become nano-Christians. We got to dissolve So that I don't stand up. But I am actually dissolved into my community. As a friend, as an individual, at a home level, whatever that might be, that I might be invisible. Myself will be invisible. That God may be glorified. So I've tried to bring to your attention, to mine today, that God operates by nano principles, small things. God would wish that we concentrate on the smaller things, the insignificant as it might appear, and that He might make me invisible in my own eyes, insignificant, that His name may be glorified. That's what I learned from this nanotechnology, as I was mentioning. That we may not go for that which is big, glorious in man's eyes, but that we will be happy to obey God and follow Him in the narrowest and the smallest ways. God bless us today.
Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for bringing to our attention that you operate on small things. Lord, I pray that you would be a part of our soul and our mind and our DNA this morning, that we may never go away from you. Lord, I pray that you will bless this small group here. And even though we may be small and a minority, Lord, I know there is power by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I pray that this church will be blessed in your name and that it will be a dynamic, a nano principle here in Hamilton to bring glory and honor to your name and to hasten your coming. We thank you once again for being with us and speaking to us this morning. I pray that your congregation may be blessed for the coming week and strengthened to do your work and to fulfill your will for us in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.